Let's begin with prayer. Heavenly Father, we come this new day with thankfulness, with joy. Lord, we remember your steadfast love that you've shown from generation to generation. One year after another, one day after another, Lord, your people have known your love, chiefly in Christ, but in all those tender mercies that we receive from you each day. Father, be with us as we continue in these Sunday school classes. Help us to continue to think of this idea of interceding for others in prayer. Lord, we need prayer. We need to be praying for others. We thank you that we have this venue in the midst of all life's many troubles and needs to bring these matters before you, who is more than able to answer any and all these requests according to your good pleasure and your glorious will. Bless them this time, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we have been going through prayer. We are talking intercession. What is intercession? Judy. That's right, good. Praying on behalf of somebody else. And can someone give me some illustrations we see in the Bible that we've been talked about of a human going to another human for intercession? Someone, Judy just answered. Someone else here. Come on. Judy's not the only one who's learned something.
Esther,
okay, good. That's an example. What else? Any other ones? Jonathan going to who? Saul, that's right, on behalf of David. What about Marlon?
Abigail,
that's a very good one. Not one we talked about, but that's a very good one. Yeah, good. So, what about some examples in the Bible of that we talked about of humans going to God? To intercede on behalf of others.
Moses,
that's right.
Several times.
Yeah, good. Any other ones?
Jesus,
that's right. That's a big one. All right, good. So we've been talking intercession. We've been going through the outline here for Matthew Henry, hoping to finish this up. Am I right? We stopped at point 12. That's what my memory told me. Okay, I'm seeing everyone saying yes. Okay, good. So we're going to continue our way through this. And why don't you, Sarah Miller, why don't you read 12.12 for us?
For our own land and nation, which we bought in a special manner to seek the welfare of, that in its peace we may have peace.
Now, he includes quite a lot under point 12. I'm not sure if I were to organize it, I would have everything under point 12. I might put some things as a point 13, but basically the rest of it's all under that. And what's the point 12 kind of saying is the overarching topic that we'll be looking at then? If it helps, you look at 11 as comparison.
It's for our own country.
That's right. So if 11 was about all the other nations, 12 is saying now we're going to intercede for our own nation and all the needs that are right here in our own country, in our own place where we live, there are needs. And that's kind of an interesting thought in general, right? I mean, like interceding is inherently about other people and other needs. And yet, when you're interceding for those right there amongst you, you realize there's benefits that come along, right? If you're praying for your government, and your government actually does a better job, you'll be benefited from that, right? And so, sort of an interesting motivation to remind us that, you know, we pray for our own, and we're thankful that that has positive repercussions for us as well. So, you know, we're part of a particular place. And, you know, I think it might be helpful as we dig back into this to flip over to 1 Timothy 2. This is what we were looking at last time. kind of for this whole chapter. And I'd like to reread it again because it's going to be helpful for us as we have this before us. 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 7. And just kind of to attach this scripture as sort of the theme for what we're doing today. And again, we're thinking about material for intercession, right? That's the point of going through Matthew Henry here. If we're talking about intercession, what are some things to be interceding about? And so, Jeff, why don't you read 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 7?
Therefore, I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all goodness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time, for which I was appointed a preacher and an apostle. I am speaking the truth in Christ and not lying, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth.
Good. And looking at verse 2 there, just to hone in on something that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life. Now looking at Matthew Henry point 12, we see that reference there, right? That in its peace, we may have peace. And so we live in this country, and if our prayers for our country are answered, then this sort of peace is one of those benefits, one of those results. So again, delving now into the subpoints here, keep this in mind: the intercession we have for our own nation and our own area that we live in. Jim, why don't you read 12:1 there?
We must be thankful to God for His mercies to our land.
What's that getting at?
Thank Him when He protects us, keeps us safe.
Yeah.
The freedoms that we have.
Yeah. And of course, we had another part of prayer that we talked about already that this would more specifically fall under. What was that part of prayer?
Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving, that's right. And as we've gone through Matthew Henry, we see there are certainly some parts where he kind of delves into other parts of prayer. And it's like, you know, as he's talking about praying for our country, he can't help but break into some thanksgiving. And certainly we see that in our own prayer life, right? We're mainly doing one part of prayer for a moment, but we can't help but bring in some of this or some of that. We should be thankful to God for all that He has given. If we're going to be asking for other things, first start by acknowledging what He's already given, right? I mean, that's the temptation, right, in our prayer requests, is to just focus on what you want instead of what He's done. I know this is too often for me the night before Sunday, praying, Lord, please do great things tomorrow. And then realized, did I ever say thank you for the great things you did last week? How am I asking for more great things? I didn't thank you already for last Sunday. So, thanking the Lord as we go into asking for new things. Okay, good. 12:2. Madeline.
We must be humbled before God for our national sins and provocations.
Good. What's that one about?
You think of some of the old preachers, of the old ones, like Nehemiah. He humbled himself before God and prayed for Israel.
Yeah.
You know, that we get down on it. We admit that we are at fault, too.
Yeah.
You know, it's not everybody else. We're all at fault.
Yeah. Yeah, when we think of collectively, I think Americans have trouble thinking of collectiveness in this regard nowadays. You know, ever postmodern times, we're very individuals. Down through the ages, the collective nature and the collective effects of the leaders in our lives, choices, and sin in general. These are difficult concepts to get our head around, but you know, we see some of these concepts in Scripture. Nineveh, right? Not even that wasn't Israel, wasn't the church, but even Nineveh collectively responded when the prophet came to them. The Sodom, you know, story: fire was going to fall, and Lot better get out if he wants to not experience that. Certainly, some of the thinkings along these lines. Jim, look like you have a question or a comment.
Since that'd be like unjust laws or laws that are directly contrary to the teachings.
I think it's a wide range of things that could be including this, and that would certainly be one of them. Yeah. And I don't think national sins necessarily only need to be things that are official legal actions of the nation, though that would include it, right? An unjust war would be another one of those. But just like widespread wickedness of various sorts, which if you pause and think about our nation today, you don't have to think very long to make a long list of widespread wickedness. That's like common. That's like the norm, right? There are many things that the Bible says are sin that our society says that's normal. And we should be humbled before God, living. It would be nice to think that we live in New Jerusalem, but we really live more like in New Sodom or New Babylon nowadays. And I've made those comments, earlier in previous lessons, reading in Revelation about Babylon that will be destroyed. Obviously, that's a representation there of society and its godlessness. And for whatever historic reasons we might want to think we live in a Christian nation, and maybe at one point it was more of a Christian nation, but right now, today, it looks too much like Babylon, too much like Sodom, and we should humble ourselves before God to acknowledge the reality and to cry out for mercy and for forgiveness. And as we'll keep on, well, okay, I jumped on to 12:3. 12:3, Mary! Okay, I have a paper for you.
And could you read 12:3 for us?
It's a long one.
Well, 12:3, we must pray earnestly for national mercies.
Yeah, there you go.
That's it.
There you go. You did it. What's that one getting at? Gene, what do you think it's getting at?
Well, we need mercy.
Mm-hmm.
The whole country does, as well as ourselves.
Yeah.
Sometimes we don't ask God enough for mercy on our country.
Yeah. And when we think of mercy, certainly...
new every day, every morning.
Yeah. And when we think of mercy, we can think of it in light of what we just talked about. Because of sin, we need mercy. But, you know, when we think of mercy, it's one of those words that has a range of usage. To say that God's mercies are new every morning tells us that it's not simply about the forgiveness of sins, but it's something that includes that, but also has other aspects as well. We can think of the mercy of God that, I thought of the mercy of God when after so much fire damage midweek in Santa Rosa, and they said, tonight everything tells us the winds are going to really pick up and there's good likelihood this is going to blow into Petaluma. That didn't happen. We woke up the next morning and the flag was still there, you know. Woke up the next morning and they reported on the news, the winds didn't turn, right? The winds didn't pick up. Those were mercies. And we can, you know, think of different aspects of God's mercies for our nation. Anywhere from rain falling to, we had seasons of drought, right? There's a wide range of different mercies that we can think of, including the fact that we are, as a people, in need of such forgiveness of sins. There are other things we can pray for as well. And we should pray for those things, right? We should pray for even the more physical, mundane things. If we pray for our daily bread, then we should pray for rain to come when we've been in a season of drought. Those are certainly things to pray for. Okay, 12:3-1. Robin.
The favors of God to us and the tokens of His presence among us, as that in which the happiness of our nation is bound up.
All right, good. So, you know, we're under now these mercies category. I've already begun to talk to that. What is this one specifically getting at?
Be thankful for all that we do have.
Yeah, yeah. You know, favors of God is kind of an interesting word. If we think of mercy, we might think of grace going along with it. And mercies and graces, mercies often, if I wanted to be, you know, kind of distinguishing between the two, we might think of mercies being especially those things we don't get. You don't get punished. Grace is more of the positive things you do get, which can often be put in the language of favor. God's grace, God's favor bestowed upon you. And so we want to pray for those good things that we need in our lives that we could refer to, those gifts of God, those things given out of God's favor. And of course, certainly we can think of common graces with regard to our nation, right? All those different things we're looking for the Lord, which are the happiness of our nation is bound up, right? Again, rain, right? If there's widespread famine, that's going to be a problem for the, quote, happiness of our nation. Declaration of Independence has the language pursuit of happiness, right? But that pursuit will be futile if God doesn't bestow grace and mercy upon us. And so we pray for that. Okay, good. 12:3-2. Jennifer.
For the continuance of the gospel among us and the means of grace and the national profession of Christ's holy religion.
Hmm. What's that we're getting at?
Conversion of the nation.
Okay, good. And how will the gospel continue to be proclaimed?
Through the church.
That's right. And of course, this is one of those things where we have a promise of God that the gates of Hades will not prevail against the church, that He will be with us always until the end of the age. And so we're certainly praying in line with His revealed will that in a way that we could be the answer. Right? We pray the gospel would go out amongst us. Well, then what should we do when we get done praying for that? Go out and tell somebody about the gospel. We can often be the answer for the very prayers we're praying. And we don't give then ourselves the credit. We give God the credit. And of course, it even has as well and the means of grace, which is going to be dispensed to the church as they bring the word and the sacraments and the prayer and prayer. And so the word church isn't mentioned here, but ultimately that's behind this, right? Is that we're praying that the Lord would use the church in these ways in the midst of our country. And of course, a national profession of Christ's holy religion, first and foremost there, that there be widespread conversion. We should pray for that. That this land would profess Christ, that the people, our neighbors, would turn and be saved. That's something to be praying for. All right, 12:3-3. Who's got it for me? Clara.
For the continuance of our outward peace and tranquility, our liberty and plenty, for the prosperity of our trade, and a blessing upon the fruits of the earth.
Mm. Several more specific things there. What kind of stuff do we see?
This is sort of like the rain falls on the just and the unjust.
Yeah.
The rain falls upon us, that we have our outward peace, that we have our prosperity of trade.
Yeah.
blessings and fruits of the earth.
Yeah. I find it very similar to 12:3:1, but more specific. You know, like you said, you mentioned very specific things. And yeah, it's I like how it's spelled out there. This is, again, sort of Declaration of Independence type ideas. And we realize, like, if we're going to realize any of these things, we need to have the Lord's blessing and presence and common grace amongst us. I think this is a helpful reminder, like, we are part of this country. Far be it from us not to pray for it, right? The fact that we're part of here. Yes, our citizenship, on the other hand, is ultimately in heaven, but we have been also placed here. And so that has obligations for us. Okay, good. 12:3:4. Judy.
For the success of all endeavors, for the reformation of manners, the suppression of vice and profaneness, the support of religion and virtue, and the bringing of them into reputation.
Hmm. That's a mouthful. What do you guys think of that one?
This is something I think we're guilty of, and we complain about it. But do we think about taking it to God in prayer?
That's a good point, yeah. Yeah, I find it very interesting, reformation of manners. You know, when I read that, I kind of thought, like, is this like just an older English word that I'm not really understanding what it's really getting at? But the best I could figure out, it's talking about manners. and something we're probably sadly lacking in society today. Manners have gone out the window, the door. There's something to be said for good manners.
I think you just said it. It's asking for good manners. Yeah. Often we see bad-mannered people.
Yeah, we have manners. It's just not the kind we should have.
That's right. They should be reformed into good manners.
That's right. Yeah. And there's something to be said for that. And, of course, that's only the beginning of the list here of, the opposite. Then when you see manners compared to the opposite, you realize it's using manners in a rather big sense. Suppression of vice and profaneness. What's another word for profaneness?
Coarse talking.
Coarse talking, okay. That would be a specific profaneness. Well, what's another general word for profaneness?
Speaking bad against God.
Okay, again, another specific example of profaneness. Is there a more general label you can use besides profaneness? What's the opposite of profane?
Holy.
Holy, good. That's good Bible answer there. The opposite of profane is holy. So another way you could think of profane is without God, or secular even. So I think this is like worldliness or godlessness. You know, living a non-holy life. And so this is kind of, we don't want that, right? We don't want, and vice, of course. What is vice? That's a big fancy old word, too. Not vice president, that's not what this is meaning. Vice. The opposite of vice? Virtue, there you go. Virtues and vices. And of course, he then goes on to mention virtues, support of religion and virtue. And so this is really saying, like, we want a society, we want a country where people have good manners and virtues, that they help their neighbor, that they're kind when they pass by and say a greeting, that they show hospitality and are gentle and tender-hearted toward one another, that they're not a society where you're scared to go out the front door, where people are rude to you and mean to you and could care less about your needs. This is like when you hear of a place where like a crime is being committed against someone else in broad daylight in front of everybody and no one does anything. Those kinds of... that's not the environment anybody wants to live in. Marlon.
Just thinking of an application here. There's a national conversation going on right now about various sexual misconduct from people in Hollywood, politicians, business leaders, all of this, and I think it's interesting because it runs the gamut from assault to simply what we're talking about here, profane talk and coarse jesting and just offensive behaviors and speech. And it's interesting that there's, it seems like people are waking up and realizing that maybe this isn't something to be exalted, which I think it is and has been for a generation in movies and television and all forms of entertainment, that this sort of sexual treatment of all subjects and this sort of coarse view of the world is sort of has been celebrated for a long time. And it's interesting that perhaps this is a reformation going on of good manners.
That would be nice.
Something to pray for, that it would fall more in line with a right relationship between men and women, between superiors and subordinates, so on and so forth.
Yeah, amen. Amen. And I think it's important as we go through this list to keep saying the obvious. We're not saying that if people's outward behaviors improve, that means they're all saved or forgiven. I mean, that's certainly still our biggest prayer in all of this, is for that conversion. But nonetheless, it would be better for everyone in society if people, if we saw a greater restraint on sin based on common grace. And if that has improved manners and morals, that's a good thing for our country. And we certainly should pray for that. And I like Marlon's, let's think specific applications. What's going on in society today? That's a big one. Yeah. On the flip side, we can think of other examples where we seem to be going the opposite way. and we need to confront all that and bring all that to prayer. So, good. Where did we leave off here? 12:3-4. 12:3-5, good job here. Gene.
For the healing of our unhappy divisions and the making up of all of our breaches.
What's that one about?
Well, the kind of history of our country has been ripe with needing prayer for that. I mean, the divisions during the Revolutionary War, the divisions during the Civil War, and what's going on today, now politically, with Democrats and Republicans not getting along, or just picking, we need to pray that we stop dividing and start looking for something that we have in common, and that God's grace will help us.
Yeah, you know, in light of taking that in light of the comment Marlon just made, like, sadly, when some of these misconduct issues have come out, the, quote, politics has gotten into it, and if he's your guy who gets the accusation, you suddenly come up with all the reasons to kind of downplay it, but when it's the other side's guy, like, you have all the reasons to spotlight it, and that's just an example of one of many divisions that we have in our country. Jim?
I was thinking, like, specifically of, like, the Civil Rights Movement.
Yeah.
Where you had a specific group of people oppressed by
law.
And then it's, bringing the, and making up our breaches, rectifying the wrong.
There is a biblical notion to the idea of, and I'm going to use this word, and I don't mean all the politics that have been brought to it, reparations, right? I don't mean to overly state more of that, but to state the more general notion that right wrongs where we can. In the notion of, like, Zacchaeus, when he became a Christian, right? He said, I'm going to give back to those fourfold whom I have stolen from, which was the biblical penalty for stealing. He said, I'm going to proactively give that. Good. Again, that's how we can be an answer to our own prayers. 12:3-6. Lead it.
For victory and success against our enemies abroad who seek our ruin.
All right. That's a good one. We'll see later, and we're supposed to pray for our enemies, but that doesn't mean we can't also pray for victory in the midst of war or conflict, who seek our ruin. certainly a self-defense kind of thing, right? I mean, that's kind of the tension in our prayers. If if a bad guy attacks you, well, on the one hand, yeah, you pray for his conversion, but on the other hand, you're going to defend yourself and pray for your success in defending yourself, right? I mean, so yes. Okay, good. 12:3-7. Diego.
For all orders and degrees of men among us are what we stand in any relation to. For our head of state, that God will protect his person, preserve his health, and continue his life and government along a public blessing.
All right, good. So what's that one about?
Pray for the leaders of your country.
Yeah, you know, if I were to break this out into sub-points, 12:3-8, 12:3-9, 12:3-10 would arguably all be sub-points under this because they get into more specifics. But it is interesting, when we talk about all orders and degrees of men among us and all we stand in relation to, we naturally, in light of those next points, we think of government. But that's not the only system of orders and degrees of men among us, right? We have all kinds of different, quote, institutions. And within those institutions, various organizational structure, where there are employers in charge of employees. There are non-profit organizations that have a chain of command, so to speak, right? There's different organizational structures, and we should pray for all those institutions amongst us and the people in leadership and the people under that leadership. You can think about that for schools, right? For in non-profits, there's a host of different things we can pray for under that. And then it mentions specifically head of state, and we think of our king, right? Oh, wait. Our president is certainly, in our country, the head of state. Okay, 12:3-8. Marlon.
For the safe and righteous continuation of our civil government, that a blessing may attend it, that peace and truth may be established in our days and secured to posterity, and that the hopes of our adversaries and all their aids and betters may be extinguished.
What's that one about?
The government in general.
Yeah, I was thinking like in olden days, or maybe they still do this in other parts of the world, where they sing, "Long live the king!" Right? Long live our democratic republic. you know, we want our nation to continue to be useful, to do what it's supposed to do for its continuance. It's why there was the Kim and I watched Designated Survivor. Have you guys seen that show? That all the government gets blown up pretty much, and then there's one designated survivor on the cabinet, I guess, that becomes the president. They rebuild the government. The government continued, right? Anyway, sorry. The first season was pretty good. The second season's just been 12:3-9. Who's got that for me? Service.
The advisors, cabinet members, members of Congress or Parliament, the ambassadors and envoys abroad, and all who are employed in the conduct of public affairs.
Good. Again, we can think of different sorts of folks to be praying for. You know, in our realize Matthew Hughes is not writing from United States government perspective, right? So you kind of fill in the blanks for our own federal and state system. And the three branches of government that we have in the federal, all the state, local government, right? We can go through all of that. And Sarah, why don't you read 12:3-10? It has a similar one there.
For the magistrates, the judges, and justices of peace in several counties and corporations.
Again, thinking of all the layers of government, I don't need to belabor the point, but there is much to be prayed for. And again, if we're looking for things to pray for, there's a lot of material to be specific in this regard. You can do a little bit of homework. Find the names of the people who are in these positions and pray for them. Figure out what's going on in their lives and their needs. There's lots of room for us to explore these further. 12:3-11, Elena.
For all the ministers of God's holy word and sacraments, the masters of assemblies.
Well, here's the best one here. appreciate your prayers. Again, I might not include this under the nation category, but, you know, pray for our own ministers, I guess is kind of the idea. We need prayer. 12:3-12. Clara.
All the universities, schools, and nurseries of learning.
So we can think of schools, we can think of places of university, or places of learning. I know especially keep in prayer our Christian schools in the area. Harvest Christian School, of course, we have our kids at. The Mrs. Kids go to Rincon Valley Christian School. Please keep those in prayer. Jim, 12:3-13.
For the common people of the land.
Oh, what in the world is that?
Those that are not Christian.
Okay, okay. What's that?
The universal nature of living in a nation.
Yeah. And if you see 12:3-13, you look down 14, 15, 16, and 17. Again, I might put those all as subpoints because the common people in general then get specific. So, Jim, why don't you read the next one too, 12:3-14.
The several ages and conditions of men as they stand in need of mercy and grace.
Yeah. It's no fun getting old, right? So there are needs in older age. There are needs in the younger age, right? There are different needs in different situations, different circumstances. For those who are healthy versus sick, those who are disabled, those able-bodied, right? We can think of different specifics there. Marlon, 12:3-15.
For those who are old and long-standing in profession.
Interesting that it cuts out several ages, then goes to old and long-standing, but in profession specifically, the experienced amongst us. 12:3-16. Marlon, read that one too.
For those who are rich and prosperous in the world, some of whom perhaps need prayers as much as those who request them.
That's a nice little note there at the end, huh?
It assumes that the rich are not asking for prayer, but yet they need it.
Yeah. And think about that, right? Why might the rich not be inclined to ask for prayer?
To preserve whole society. The majority of our society doesn't think that they need God. They're like, we're fine. We have wealth, we have riches, we have take hot and cold running water for granted. We're fine.
And so context is always important for answers. And when I heard Diego give that answer, or not Diego, Daniel give that answer just now, I immediately flashed back to him describing where his fiance lives and how they don't have hot and cold water. So do not take these things for granted. When we have much, we tend to think we don't need help from above. Clearly a theme taught in the Bible, clearly something we've seen firsthand too often, and maybe in our own lives we find that we only call out to God when we have trouble, and not enough when things are going well. Diego, 12:3-17.
For those who are poor and in affliction, for such we have always with us.
And that last part is an allusion to an Old Testament reference. And Jesus quotes that, which is also an allusion to the Old Testament reference. And quite the reality. Interesting, in that Old Testament reference, I don't have the scripture here in front of us, but it's in the passage about caring for the poor so that there won't be poor amongst us. And then it goes on to say basically, but you're going to have poor amongst us, which is a realization that even there in the Old Covenant, which was supposed to be a type of that heavenly place of bliss. Even there, it was only a type, because though there was provision so that there wouldn't be poor, there was going to be still poor, but all the more reason why we pray for them. And then how we can go and help. We got a food drive coming up here. It's going to be in the bulletin today. You'll see it. One of the many ways that we can help those in need. Our diaconal offering, there's opportunities to help in this regard. Okay, Jeff's going to read the last two here. We're going to treat them together. You can tell I've been picking up the pace here. I wanted us to work through and finish this section here today. So, Jeff, read the last two for us.
For our enemies and those who hate us, for our friends and those who love us.
Hmm. Both good ones, right? What contrast. It's easy to take good friends for granted. We should pray for them. It's easy to harbor grudges and bitterness toward enemies and therefore not pray for them. But Scripture speaks against that. And we need to have these in our prayer life. Jean, do you have a...
Well, I was just thinking of one of the first questions that somebody asked me when I became a Christian many years ago was, are you praying for Adolf Hitler?
Mm.
I was praying for the president and everything else. Well, what's the matter with you?
Yeah.
It's scriptural if you pray for your enemies as well.
Yeah, that's one of those ones that's the two thing, the tension, right? We pray for victory over Hitler, but we also pray for his conversion and recognizing his need for the Lord. Things like that, yeah. Yeah. Amen. Pray for enemies who hate us. Pray for our friends who love us. Okay, we've got plenty to think about in terms of intercession. We're continuing our prayer series next week. I got a few more quote sections left. Next section will be a shorter section. We're going to look at some example prayers. We've really gotten through the bulk of our prayer series and talked a lot about prayer now and kind of what it is and what it isn't and the parts of prayer. Let's start to tie things together by looking at some kind of classic prayers in the Bible. And we won't be able to go into the detail that maybe each of them might warrant, but we'll read over them and make some observations and look at a few of them that way. First one, of course, will be the Lord's Prayer, and then we'll look on some other ones as well. So let's go ahead and close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these many things that we can be interceding about, Lord. There's no lack of things to be praying for. Help us then to devote the time needed to see this as the ministry at which it is, a ministry of intercessory prayer. Lord, may we labor day and night in prayer. Lord, we know that our prayers are not opposed to action, but Lord, we know how important both are. But may we not just be pragmatic and think that the actions are all that's important. May we cry out to you with real hearts, concerned for these various matters. Lord, we then ask that you bless this break and our worship service as we come to it here shortly. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.